Okay, let's turn in our Bible today. We're going to not turn over, but we'll turn our Bibles open. If you have a Bible or if you got your iPad or your phone, whatever it is. Let's go to Micah in the Old Testament today. I want to start there. Because how many know that if we're going to walk in truth, we've got to know what truth is? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that God's word is truth? Jesus said in John 17:3, he said, "Thy word is truth." But this morning, our lesson this morning that I want to kind of share with, which I've been talking about kind of in a roundabout way, we've been talking about authority. But we've also been talking about submission to God and walking with Him. Amen? How many think it's important not just to know Him, but to walk with Him? Amen. How many know we can walk with Him? Now that you've been born again and we were redeemed, we've talked about that a little bit, where Adam and Eve fell, lost the redemption, but Jesus purchased us back, didn't he? Hallelujah. There's good news in the house today. You've been born again. You've received a nature that is alive to God, a spirit that was changed, and your nature was changed, what? From wanting to do wrong to wanting to do what is right. Amen. Now the desire of the heart has been changed. That's why a lot of times we see things happen in the earth. How many know people can sign papers and make laws? And what happens when the next people get in power? They change it back to the way it was before, don't they? Why? Because there wasn't the heart change. See, but when there's a heart change, amen, hallelujah. Say, well, my heart did change, but we'll talk about some things we're going to today. But all right. Micah chapter 6, let's read verse 8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Amen. How many want to do justly? That means righteously, doing what is right, doesn't it? Amen. To love mercy. How many love mercy? I know our Father loves mercy. He had mercy on us, didn't he? Amen. And to walk with Him humbly before Him. Amen. To walk humbly with God. And how does that person walk humbly with God? How are we going to do it? Number one, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" How can two walk together? So how are you going to walk with God unless, number one, the first thing, the first step to walking with Him is to make up our mind that God cannot lie, that His word is truth. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 John 2, verse 6, that he that says that he abides in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked, or as Jesus walked. How many ever read that verse? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Let's turn over there. Go ahead, put your eyes on it, look at it. It kills me every time I read it, even though I've read it many times. I've prayed it many times. I've asked God to help me many times. Amen? I don't know about you, but hallelujah. 1 John, if I'll get there. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. And verse number 6 says, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Now, how did Jesus walk? How did He walk? And sometimes we start looking at the natural. Did he use long strides? You know, did he walk long? Did he use short strides? How did he walk? No, he's not talking about a natural walk. He's talking about a lifestyle. What was Jesus' lifestyle with the Father? Well, number one, he had a lifestyle of prayer, didn't he? Remember when Jesus, what would it say? He rose up a great while before it was day. Before the sun came up, Jesus was out with his Father. Now, I'm not saying you have to be up early in the morning to walk with God. Some people, how many people in here are not morning people? Raise your hand, Joseph. Everybody's laughing because they know, you know. But how many know Joseph may be up before all of us because he was up till 2 or 3 a.m.? Amen. He was up way before you. Maybe you're just getting up. But he's been up for a while. So it's not about exactly what time. But Jesus' life was a walk with the Father in the sense that he stayed, what, in tune with him. That's what it means to walk with God. He's telling us here, if we abide in him, what, he that that says he abides with God, himself also should walk, even as Jesus walked. Now, if we're going to walk like Jesus walked, then we need to see how he walked. And we know that Jesus said, the works that I do, right, over here in John. Let's go to John 14:12. I know you've heard a lot of these scriptures, but I think it's important when we take a look and we remind ourselves where we're going. We're going to a place in God where all things are possible. Okay? It doesn't mean necessarily, you said, well, everything's not happening right now. How come I don't see everything that Jesus saw in his walk with God? Well, we got to think about it. Some of us have different amounts of time. Amen? Maybe you're at a different place with God right now. Maybe you are walking with him where you need to be. I know watching today, right now, we've got at least three that have children in their lives. Some very young children. How many think they should be a mother, number one? Amen? You know, what do you want them to do? You want them to stop being a mother and spend all their time in prayer? I'm sorry, don't bother me now. Can't change the baby's diaper. Can't feed the baby. You know, what do you want her to do? Hire somebody else to do it? That's her responsibility. That's her joy. That's her job. She's a mother and a wife. And that's what she should be. And we believe in that. Because if you're spending a little time with God each day, amen. If you're a mother, it may be while you're going about your day. While you're washing the baby's clothes, right? While you're changing the baby's diaper. While you're driving them somewhere, you're going to take groceries and get things for your family. How many know God doesn't want to just talk to us in our prayer closet? I'm sorry, but I wish that were true. He loves that, and he does fellowship with us there. But it's more than just a specific time that we set. It is good to set some specific time to be with God. But if you're a busy mother, it may be 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. You know, and the occasion that you might get a day to where you can spend some more time, hallelujah, they might want to lay down and take a nap. Because being a mother is a lot of work. So anyway, I'm just sharing this because I think it's important that we think about life. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in walking like Jesus, and we forgot that Jesus, he was called to be a preacher. Amen. He was a preacher of the day. Think about it. He was one of the preachers. He traveled around. He went to the synagogue. He would get up and read, and he read, remember, in Isaiah? He said, today, the scripture's fulfilled in yours. I'm the one that's been anointed. He found himself in the Word of God. Hallelujah. We can find ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. You know, maybe your mother, you know, I don't see in the Bible where Mary was doing a whole lot of things. She was busy taking care of Jesus. Yeah, Joseph was a carpenter, but she was busy taking care of Jesus and the family. Maybe you don't realize, but see, Jesus was not the only born to Mary and Joseph. He was the firstborn, and his father was God, and really Joseph would be, we would say, in a natural sense, his stepfather, but he was his earthly father. He took care of Joseph and Mary. But they had other children. There was at least five other brothers and at least two sisters that we know of that the Bible records. So Mary was a busy woman. It wasn't just spending time with God. She was already virtuous. She had surrendered her heart to the Lord. She, I'm sure, spent time with God and was doing her best. The Bible says the favor of God was upon her. God found someone that's going to take care of Jesus. And I'm sure we know that Joseph was also a righteous man. And so we want to think about these things. What is our life look like when we're walking with God? See, it's not going to be exactly the way Jesus walked on the earth. He was a teacher and a preacher. But what is your call? Maybe you're called to be in a different profession. If you're a business person, or you're maybe you're in teaching, or you're a plumber, you're doing something else, then what are you going to do? Get up and preach to a class every day? No, your job is to teach them. Why? Because there's more to life than just preaching the gospel, although that is very important. And there's more to walking with God than just spending time in His presence all the time when we don't have time for anything else. Because this world needs Jesus in every corner. How many believe that? God calls people to be doctors and nurses and lawyers, I guess. No. And business people. And He has a purpose for your life. And that's not the only thing, obviously. But within that, we are to take the Word of God and we are to show forth the very nature and then reflect the life of God. Amen? Right where we are, where we walk. And so here we see in John 14:12, He said, "Most assuredly," Jesus said, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask what? Anything in my name, I will do it." Has anybody ever asked anything in his name and it didn't look like it happened? Uh-oh. I said, "Well, I've asked a couple of things that, did happen." But sometimes it looks like things are not happening when we talk to the Lord. And we said, well, what is the problem? Are we walking in truth? See, we've got to realize He wants us to believe Him. See, the works of Jesus were miracles, but they were more than that. They were more than just miracles, weren't they? Because Jesus had many different kinds of miracles. The miracles that He brought forth, yes, were many. And people brought them to Him. What about the people that brought them? Were they not walking in the will of God? We need people to bring people to Jesus. We've got a slogan here. We have "Each One Reach One." We're believing God. Today, a lady showed up. I talked to her not too long ago. I don't know if she's still here, but praise the Lord. She came in. She wants to see what we're about. How many know we can each one reach one? Somebody. Why? It's not, probably you're not going to reach a lot of them in your prayer closet, are you? How many people you are reaching them in your prayer closet in this way? Prayer, to the Father to find His purpose and His plan for today. And as I walk with Him today, I believe that He directs my steps and He takes me along life's way. I believe that doors of utterance are open for me, and there's going to be opportunity that men may see that Jesus Christ is Lord. What? To the glory of God our Father. They shall see Your good works, that they may glorify Your Father which is in heaven. Well, what good works are you talking about, Brother Doug? Yes, we're looking to the greater works like Jesus did of miracles, signs, and wonders where the deaf will hear and the lame will walk and the blind shall see. And those are all part of walking with Him each and every day. But even more than that, He said what? If we ask anything, if we're going to walk with Him, then we're going to show forth the character of God. Amen. You're going to have what? The Bible says it's the goodness of God that draweth men to repentance. It's the kindness of God. How many know you're probably not going to get very far in praying for too many people if all you do is you just jump up, well, let me pray for you, and you're rude. You know, they take two steps back, right? Oh, who are you? Who are you? You haven't introduced yourself. You're not a friend. They don't care about you. They don't trust you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be signs that follow you. But most of the signs that follow us are out somewhere in the world, aren't they? Amen. And when do they come into being? They come in our heart as we fellowship with our Father. And we know what He has said. Amen. And during that time, yes, we develop a intimacy with Him. But that intimacy doesn't stay in the prayer closet. I know I'm on this today, but it's true. It's got to go with you. What good is God if He can't go with you? He's not locked up in a box and He's not locked up in a church building anymore. Amen. How many know that? Do you remember when the veil was rent from top to bottom when He died on that cross? He said, it is finished. What was finished at the cross? What was finished? The old covenant was finished where God was dwelling in a box and now He's come to dwell on the inside of you and I. And when we know Him, when we walk with Him. Man, I got off my subject a little bit, but that's okay. We're still talking about walking with Him. But when we walk with Him, then we're going to ask what we will. And it will be done. Our Father hears us, but how many know when we know who He is, that He is what? Faithful. That He can be trusted. That He cannot lie. That He's going to honor His word and take care of me. Because what has He said? He said, if we will ask anything according to His will, His word is His will. Amen. He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, then I know that I have that petition that I've asked of Him. But we've got to walk according to the word. And it is different, like I said before. Walking in the truth is different from just knowing the truth. You know, I know a lot of people, I really do, quite a few, and they know more about the Bible than maybe I do. I mean, I know quite a bit, don't get me wrong. But how many know you can know the Bible, you can memorize the Bible. Did you know that? You can have it on your coffee table, you can read it. But if we don't begin to walk according to it, it doesn't do us any good. Amen. We must walk according to what He said. Now, Jesus' walk was, as I said, number one, having a life of prayer. Now, if you don't have a prayer life, I'll be glad to talk with you. We can help you get one. I know most of you here have one. But it's important that we have some time that we're giving to God in earnest prayer. Are we going to walk with Him? Or are we going to just say, Yeah, that's what he said. I know that's what you said, Lord. But to walk in it takes a relationship and a consistency with what God said. And we have to begin to do something that we don't talk about a lot, but that's practice what he said. What did James 1 say? Hallelujah. Let's just roll. Hallelujah. James 1. Many of us have heard a lot of the Word of God. But you can hear the Word of God, like I said, I'm going to prove to you. We can know what God said, but that doesn't mean we're doing it or walking with Him in it. Amen. James 1. He says here in verse 19, let's start there. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." He says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which was able to save your souls." And it says, "But be doers of the word." So he's saying, listen, be a good hearer. Don't be talking all the time, but listen to me. Listen to what I say. Be quick to hear. Be slow to become angry about what I have said. He's saying, sometimes, anybody ever got a little upset? "I see what you said, Lord, but I don't know if I can do it, and it makes me angry. I've been angry before because it didn't look like I could do what he said." But here he's saying, take that word. And we've got to, wait a minute, receive it what? With meekness, a teachableness, an understanding, the implanted word which is able to save our souls, and be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because if we're only hearing, we're going to become deceivers of ourselves. And the enemy is not going to have to even deceive us. We're self-deceived when we aren't, what, doers of what he said. So here he's saying, receive this word. It's good in all areas, yes. I believe to be, you know, we need to be swift to listen to one another. Slow to speak, yes, slow to wrath. But here he's talking about the wrath of man, it says, does not produce the righteousness of God. And he goes on, he says, therefore, because it doesn't, lay it aside. Lay aside these things that rise up in your fleshly man and be a doer of what God said. And that's going to take a couple of things. Number one, I said that time in prayer. Why? Because when we spend time praying with the Father, especially praying in other tongues, what begins to take place is a divine exchange between you and Him. Everything that He is in you, everything that He is in you begins to become alive on the inside of you. Everything that He is, what? In you, to you, and wants to do through you is what begins to come forward in your life. Because the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher when you spend time praying in other tongues and allowing the truth of what God has said to become a reality on the inside of you. I can tell you who He is. I can explain to you what God wants to do in you. I can make it all alive to you. But only the Holy Spirit who lives in you can really make it real to you. He becomes the teacher. See, we have teachers in the body of Christ. We need teachers in the body of Christ. Maybe you're called to teach. We need them. It helps us gain what? Information. It helps us gain knowledge of who God is and what God wants to do on the inside of us. That yes, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That His holiness and goodness lives on the inside of your spirit and He wants it to come forward. But if it's not real to you, if it's not alive on the inside of you, amen, then how is it going to affect you if you're not doing it? Amen. And sometimes it's a choice just to begin to walk in it, just to begin to practice. How many ever decided you're going to walk in love? I'm going to walk in love. That's what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. How many ever had plenty of opportunities where you could walk in love that day? Amen. We have opportunities every day, don't we? Where we don't have to allow the wrath of God. That's the fleshly part of us. That wrath is not in your new nature. It's not in your spiritual man. It's not a part of who you really are. But how many know there are things in our flesh, our mind, our will, our emotion, our natural soul that have to be changed. They have to be transformed. Because we are a different person. They're transformed what? To who we really are. Who God really made us. And that's really the paradox of the Christian life, is that we are constantly becoming everything that God has made us to be. Because we are between two places. We talked about this before. We're on the earth, yet we're born again and alive to God and seated with Him in heavenly places as far as God's concerned. We have what? A new body on account. It's going to happen to us when the trump sounds. But until then, we have to control this natural man, these natural forces that are within our flesh, within our body, and sometimes, many times within our emotions. Anybody have trouble with your emotions? Maybe I'm the only one. You know, because that's what happens. We've talked about that. The emotions rise up. Negative emotions from our flesh can rise up and try to control us, see? And that's where our spirit has to come into line. That's where we have to take our authority. That's where we have to say, no, I choose to walk according to God's word. And then we say, you know, and we're saying, like I said, sometimes maybe we don't make it that time. Maybe that emotion overpowered you. What do? I run to 1 John 1:9 and I say, Father, I admit that I wasn't your representative very good in that moment. And I receive what? That cleansing from all unrighteousness, and I receive His grace. What? To empower me to walk in that this next time. It's not going to continue to happen. As long as I keep coming back to the Father and spending time in His presence, letting the Holy Spirit, what? Begin to build up my inner man. That's how I walk with Him, by the Spirit. Yes, by my human spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives within me. That's the whole purpose of Jude 20. He said, but you, beloved, Jude 20. There's only one chapter there, if you didn't know that. I know most of us do, but this is a great verse that we use a lot. But you, beloved, what? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And what's the next verse? Keeping yourselves in the love of God, right? Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So here we are building ourselves up because Jude was warning them against what at this time? False brethren who had crept in unawares. Jude was the brother, one of the brothers of Jesus. He was the half-brother of Jesus. I mean, he was raised in the same house as Jesus. Yet, when Jude began to write the book of Jude in the very first verse, he said, this is Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, Jude wanted to walk with God, or he wouldn't have said that. Being the brother of Jesus, he recognized who Jesus was. Amen. And he was also the brother of James, who wrote the book of James. who was also, of course, the brother of Jesus. They were all brothers together. See, sometimes, many times, God calls whole families into the kingdom of God. I'm a preacher. My little brother's a preacher. I've got some uncles that are preachers in our home, in our family. I've got some other, you know, and so not all of them, but many. And my grandfather did a lot of mission work amongst the Native Americans, anyway. And he did that for quite a while. And so God had a purpose. And here Jude said, I am a bondservant. Or what? What did we learn about the bondservant? That was the under rower in the ships. When the captain gave the order, they're underneath. They've got those oars. They're chained to the benches. They are the slaves of the ship, which makes it continue to row. And he says, I'm here. I choose to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And he says here, and brother of James. He says, to those who are called, sanctified by God, preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. He said this. Why? Because he said, I wanted to write to you of the common salvation, all the great and wonderful truths that I desired to bring you, but I've been moved by the Holy Spirit himself, and I am urged that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and not to allow those that have crept in unawares to deceive you to depart from what I have said. And he said, they may be those that are sense-ruled. But you're not of the sense-ruled realm, but you're of the Spirit of God. And if you'll build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, I will keep you in the love of God. And they will not be able to deceive you, because perfect love casts out that fear. You'll not fear them. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you into all truth. And he will keep you from the error of man that's trying to come in and to water down this gospel that I have been preaching to you. Because Jude apparently and probably heard what Peter said in the last day. There's going to be false brethren coming in. See, he had heard some of these other teachers and preachers, and Jude said, I'm impressed of the Lord. I feel I have to talk to you for a minute about what's going on. Verse 4, for certain men that came, crept in unnoticed, who long ago they were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. They turned what? The grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we going to walk with him? Is our question today. We're going to walk with him to do justly what? To love mercy and walk what? Humbly with our God. That just means that we are not weak, but we are teachable, we are listening, we are doers of what God has said, taking him at his truth, and we allow that truth to become a reality down on the inside of our heart. How many know the difference between hearing and doing is? Do you know what the key is to that? The key is found over in Joshua. Let's go there for a minute. Chapter 1. Deuteronomy, Joshua, right? Joshua chapter 1. Let's read a couple of verses and we'll get ready to close here in a minute. But here he says in Joshua 1, verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He says, be strong and of good courage, for this people You will divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. But he says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now, did you see the key a lot of times to doing is our meditation? What are we thinking about? What are we observing? Are we looking at the natural, or are we looking at what God has said? You see, one of the keys to doing is meditation. It's thinking about what God has said. Because how many know what you think about the most is usually what you end up doing? Are we thinking about prayer time with God, or are we thinking about the next movie we're going to? See, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the movie, but what are we doing? If we're having trouble walking with Him, are we thinking about how He is love and how that love has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit and can be poured forth? Or am I thinking about how my neighbor did me wrong? Ah, what am I thinking about in my mind? What am I allowing to control my thinking? See, we've got to allow the Word of God to begin to be meditated upon, to be thought upon, and to what? To come out of our mouth and to be a part of who we really are. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2 said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Now, if we're going to walk with God, and what He says is truth, regardless of whether we agree with that or at our, you know, whether that agrees, whether God's Word agrees with our present circumstance or not. When we believe what God has said, then that is what we base our life on. Amen? That is the faith of God. When we choose, we talked about that, didn't we? When we make that choice, and we believe what God said, and we accept as truth what He says, faith begins to come. Faith has come. We have faith on the inside of us. And that when that faith is there as a seed, I always say, a lot of times, every time that we agree with God by saying what God says, my believing is being changed to agree with what He has said. For instance, maybe it's whatever our need may be. Of course, we're all looking at what? Prosperity. Well, it doesn't look, maybe in your life, you're saying, well, it doesn't look like God's taking care of me. However, He's got ways, amen, that we don't have to come up with. We can trust Him as our provider. We get a hold of the Word of God, and we begin to think about it. See, what we meditate on begins to become a reality in our heart and in our life ultimately. If we want to change something, then we've got to change what we're thinking about. We've got to change what we're saying with our mouth. Because what does He say? Mark 11:23-24, Jesus said to them, what? Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he's going to have whatsoever he saith. Whatever we say. Whatever we say. When we agree with God, that's what Hebrews talked about. He says, when we, it means saying the same thing. See, when we say the same thing that God has already said about us, it becomes a reality in our heart. It brings us to a place where that truth begins to rise up on the inside of us and brings us in to a manifested place with God where it's easy for us to receive that. God has given us what he believes concerning every area of our life. But our job as believers is to agree with what he has already said, and he'll never change his mind. So that means we've got to change our mind, amen, to what he has said. Hallelujah. Now, prosperity, I was just talking about that. That could be one, for instance, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he what? Became poor. That I, put it to yourself, begin to personalize that. That I, knowing that grace, amen. Amen, me, he says, for your sakes, he became rich, poor, that I, what, through his poverty, might be rich. Through what Jesus did alone at the cross. A lot of times I tell myself that. Because sometimes we want to base it on something else. I must be doing something wrong. Well, if he told you something, you may need to keep your budget. If that's what he told you to do. You may need to be a better steward if that's what he's telling you to do and leading you. But as far as God is concerned, that prosperity, it was already met. It was already paid for. And I can receive by faith what he has said. But I've got to decide. He's right and my circumstances is wrong. What I see can't be right if it's not lining up with what he said. And we know that in any area of our life, whether it be health, whether it be the peace of God ruling in our heart. How many know there's plenty of scriptures that talk about the peace of God? We talked a little bit about that last Tuesday. It was really good. How about gentleness in your life? So, well, I'm just kind of abrupt. People just don't see me as gentle. Well, did you know you can change? Doesn't mean you have to be weak, but we can be nice. You know, we can be kind. It's part of the spirit, the fruit of your human spirit. 1 Peter 3:4, it says, I have the ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Hallelujah. Did you know that? Having that gentleness on the inside of you is a great price to God. Hallelujah. He thinks it's of great price. It says Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, gentleness, and long-suffering. You know, we think of a lot of things. We're always thinking about what our prosperity, our need. But how many of us really get over there and think of the gentleness of Jesus? And let gentleness do its work. Now, some of you need to be gentle to yourself. Because you've been really hard on yourself and you've allowed the enemy to condemn you. And sometimes you need to say, Lord, I'm going to be gentle with me. I'm going to be patient with myself. I'm going to let the love of God fill me. I'm going to let my Father love me today. Hallelujah. How about joy? How many think we could have a little more joy in the church today? A little more joy in the world, amen? Sometimes just smiling. You know, you go to some places, you stand there long enough with a smile on your face, they're going to say, what's wrong with you? You say, I don't know, but something's good. Jesus saved me. Hallelujah, amen. He says, rejoice in the Lord my God in all that I set my hands unto. Deuteronomy 12:18. Nehemiah 8:11. We all know that, don't we? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. What about something else here? Many of us could walk in and see that when we take hold of that word of God, when we recognize as truth what he said, we're walking with him. Sometimes we need what? Love and acceptance, don't we? How many know the world's crying out for love and acceptance right where they are? How many know God accepted you even while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us, didn't he? His love was there. Don't you think it's there for you right now? Sometimes in this message, we get so introspective, we forgot about who God is and what He has said about us. You know, we can get there, and sometimes the enemy, well, you didn't pray. You only prayed 14 hours this week, and you were going to pray 15. I don't know what's wrong with you. And we can become legalistic and bound by something that God has given us to set us free. I'm not against prayer. You know that. I'm not against setting some time to pray and to do that. But we want to develop into a place where we're walking with Him, right? All the time, not just in our prayer time. Amen. Now keep your prayer time going. Don't stop. And we do check on each other. We want to do that because those are the things that make us grow. But if the Word of God is not alive on the inside of us, and if we're not accepting it as truth, then we're not really going to change because we don't have anything for God to work with. See, when we put His Word in there, it sure helps Him. Amen. How many believe that helps God to work with us? Yeah, He can quote every scripture to you. But He's got to come down to our level. See, He'd rather just quicken you. He wants to speak with you spirit to spirit. Where boom, that revelation, that understanding comes alive on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But anyway, glory to God. What about one other thing that we read there in Micah? He said to walk what? Humbly with our God. How many of us have made humility an aim for our life? When's the last time we really thought about, Lord, teach me to be humble before You? That's just a surrendered heart. It's not a mystery. It's not being weak, but to be meek, to be teachable, to be submitted to His will. Lord, the Bible says Jesus humbled Himself and became what? Obedient. See, that's humility when we say, yes, Lord, Your word is truth. What the enemy or what my mind thinks is not truth. Necessarily, if it doesn't agree with what You said, Lord, I'm going to have to change. And I take what You said, Lord, about me. Because His thoughts toward You are good. He believes in you. He wants you to succeed. Hallelujah. And when we walk with Him according what? Number one, that His word is truth and that He cannot lie and He will fulfill what He has promised on the inside of us. Amen. It's not, you know, it's not some great mystery. It's a lot of prayer time, maybe spending some time dying to our own desires. Maybe we got other things. Maybe God wants to ask you to sit down a little bit more time. Might be 15 minutes. Lord, I'm going to add an extra 15 minutes to my time. Why? Because I want You to work in my heart to bring about the change in whatever area it is in our life. If you need help finding scriptures in some area, let us know. I'll be glad to send you some. You know, I can help you look some up. I'm not going to do it all for you. But if you got in a concordance, you know, you can look up the word joy. You can look up humility, can't you? Amen. And we can find the truth of what God has said in any area of our life. And we can change. Maybe it's anger that's got you. Well, what do we need? What do I need? Why am I so angry, Lord? Maybe there's a fear there. And you have to say, Lord, I recognize and I admit, Lord, this is here. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing anger to rise up in me. I forgive. I choose to forgive. So, well, now wait a minute, Pastor Doug. You went to meddling. But anyway, the truth is that when we take His truth, we can change anything in our life. When we allow ourselves to spend time with God, let the Holy Spirit make that word alive on the inside of us, and we begin to become what? Doers of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth of Your word that sets us free. That, Father, the word of God will never fail. You have settled it forever in heaven. And Father, if we're going to walk with You, we're going to have to walk in that truth, Father, we're going to have to become doers of what you have said. And Lord, we know that when we walk with you, that we'll ask what we will, Lord, and you will cause it to come to pass in our lives. Oh, Father, we want to be those that you can trust. We want to be those that will take you at your word and allow you to transform us into all that you want us to be. We thank you, Father, that we're going to that place where all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah.